Seems like an appropriate ending for that little musical intro. All right, we're with Admiral Cooper taking a look again at a number of pictures, many of which have never been seen before, and we're presenting them tonight. The twins. I'm looking again at picture 12 and gallery 1, if you're going to go back there. The twins, those two little islands.
Yeah.
Just off the shore in the cove where Inalco was situated. And I just wonder if there were if there was an observation post on the one on the left, which had unrestricted, unobstructed views out. There could have been.
That's a good point.
I thought about that.
Yeah, to send somebody out for a couple of hours with
that's
binoculars.
Right. That's right. I would like either one of them, and I would put a little house hidden in the trees there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to live. That would be a fun place to live.
Yeah, you're away from everything.
Yep. Okay, we are at Gallery 1, photo number 13.
13. Yeah, this is the field of view from the bunker, and we'll look at the bunker in a little bit, and it covers the approach to Inalco from a different angle. excuse me. Look at number 14, and that's the bunker under construction, thanks to Nemo, and number 15 is the bunker complete. Now, apparently, or we just learned that the granddaughter of the guy who owned the bunker, the construction, whatever, she said she thought it might have been a hotel. It is too doggone small to be a hotel.
No.
It's about 30 feet by 40 feet. That's it. It was a lookout post where you'd have maybe 20 or 30 guys living there, changing shifts. And in my opinion, the whole reason for it being there was observation.
Of course. Of course. If you look at the photo number 14 of the site under construction, you can see that there have been a lot of rocks probably dislodged at the foundation level, and I would suggest that there were things under the foundation level as well. They just pitched the rocks over the side.
It had a basement.
Yeah, there you go. Well, they dug it out. And this was on a little tiny promontory that stuck out from the indigenous geography. Just stuck
out
there.
Yeah, a perfect place for a lookout spot.
Yeah.
That's number 15. Now, look on number 16. And
now,
that's
approximately when, Harry?
Up.
Excuse me. When would that have been built, approximately? Probably in the early 40s, right? 42, 43 kind of thing, getting ready, just in case.
Towards the mid-40s, mm-hmm. like Inalco was built at the end of 44, early 45.
Mm-hmm.
And there in picture 16, I'm going down into what's left of the basement. The place was blown up as a military exercise, I think it was 1960. They called it a training exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Blow up a hotel?
No, you know why they did it? We were talking about this the other day. Go ahead, tell them. It's obvious why they did it.
Embarrassment, you know.
Yeah.
Those doggone Nazis were there. Oh, shame.
Yeah.
Can't be Germans. Got to be Nazis.
So if you look at 16, it was very well constructed. Lots of concrete. No
lots
question.
Of rebar.
Yeah, everywhere. So they didn't mess around. Did you go down in that bunker basement there?
Yeah, sure. That's a picture. 16 is a picture of me going down in there, and you look at number 18, and there I are.
How far did it go?
That
was about
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my hand is right by what appears to be some kind of a hole in the side from blast or whatever. I don't know.
Uh huh. But behind you, that's about the extent of all you could get to. The rest of it had caved in, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. There wasn't much back down there, nothing hidden. At least think so. It just didn't appear to be that kind of construction.
That needs to be restored as well. What a tourist draw that would be if somebody were so motivated.
All it takes is money.
Yeah. All right. Number 19.
19. That shows you what you can see looking to the left from that bunker. And 20, looking to the right. Nothing could go by unseen.
What a view.
From that point. Yeah, what a view. Any place down there has got a magnificent view. Martine and I went all along the rim and various different, there's a big R&R spot for the Argentine Air Force up there. No matter where you are, you're looking out over that lake, and it's just breathtaking. It's a magnificent part of the world.
All large inland bodies of water seem to have folklore, some kind of mythology about a large lake creature that somehow survived the great dinosaur die-off. Is there one for Nahuelwapi? Is there?
Yeah, they call it Nahuelito, little Nahuel.
They do.
And I said, hey, how come I can't see it? And they said, oh, no, it only shows itself to locals, not to foreigners. So I guess I'll never see Nahuelito. It's a big lake, and it's really deep in some spots. I think they said something like 400 fathoms, fathom being 6 feet. It's 2,400 feet. That's a half a mile, roughly.
That's a big lake.
Yeah, oh, it's very big. Beautiful. Unspoiled, unpolluted.
Let's go back, and we have plenty of time here. We want to go back. And look at picture number 11 to get the idea of the field of view from the actual home looking out across the lake. And there were security personnel there. And I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't some on one of the twins, which caused those two long vectors that you couldn't get a good look.
The notches,
blocked. The notches. Okay. That's one. And then the other field of view is from the actual bunker.
Right.
Looking to the right, looking to Villa Angostura's to the right. No, it's to the top. I got it.
Okay. Yeah, it's up that arm a little bit, Villa Angostura.
Exploded bunker, a ruined hotel. See, now Nemo came through again. That's an aerial view. Probably a Google map shot, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it says that down at the bottom.
Does I can't see it. Oh, I do see Google. I see Google. You can see the individual rooms. Oh, yeah. Fascinating. Okay, very good. All right, next up, we have an interesting tower, and this was in town, so to speak.
In San Carlos de Bariloche, the clock tower. And as Nemo pointed out, you know, somebody had to go up in that tower to wind the clock, because back in them days they didn't have solar-powered anythings. So from the tower up there, why couldn't they put an OP up there too, which I'm sure they did. But leave it to Nemo to point it out to me.
Tower's been there since 45, at least.
Oh, yes. Maybe even a little before. I'd have to look in the old Bariloche photos, but there was a tower there back when it was in the mid-40s.
So they were scanning boat traffic. Any boat traffic that headed toward Inalco was being clocked, and they talked to the bunker and other locations, and everybody was totally coordinated on anything moving near Inalco.
Right, and that's how they got the Soviet, the six Soviet would-be assassins who were heading to clip Hitler. Hitler in the early 50s, and unfortunately they, I shouldn't say unfortunately, bad luck for them, we'll say.
They're still plumbing the depths of Lake Nahuel Huapi.
Yeah, they called in another former member, General Adolf Galland, who was there reconstructing the Argentine Air Force, and he came and brought a bunch of 7.62 machine guns, and they knew when the guys were coming, the Soviets, in their rubber boats. They never made it to shore. And that's in, I think that's in volume 6 of Hidden Secrets.
What year would that have been, do you think? What's your best guess?
I think it's in the book, but I'd have to take a look. In the early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
There were six mm-hmm. guys that showed up in Bariloche when it was still a small town. And they spoke excellent German, but it was very suspicious because they were not there to go fishing. They were not there to go skiing. And they were not there chasing girls. So what were they there for? And they spotted a couple of them walking around, allegedly bird watchers or something, up there on the property. And so they knew what was coming. And then they got the word from the village, from Bariloche, that the rubber raft was on its way. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, it got to about 100 yards offshore, and they started sending in the swimmer team, and the machine guns, first they fired some very flares in the air. Machine guns opened up, and that was the end of those guys. And
only ones to be thwarted in an attempt as well.
There were some going after Mengele, but that's in another book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next is this another good one.
24
from Sieg Agent Nemo. 22. Very good. This is the view from that tower in Bariloche.
Oh yeah, right. Number 22. Yeah, so they're overlapping the views from some of the other OPs.
That's quite a field of view.
Yeah.
They knew.
Seems
they had
like
it triangulated.
Yeah. Somebody picked that spot with some thought. Mercedes of Argentina, actually.
I'm looking at 22. Where is Xiao Xiao from
I think
Bariloche?
It's on there. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. You see where it says sharkhunters.com?
Yeah.
Look straight above com. And there's Vishal Shao.
Oh, there it is. Got it. Very good.
If now, I those ever are get islands, to be a multimillionaire, I'll go down there and stay at Shao Shao. But at $400 or $500
anyway.
A night.
Yeah.
$400 or $500 a night. I just go there for coffee and cakes for a brunch, and that's it.
Well, you got to know the manager well enough.
Right. Yeah, Lucilla.
Right.
So when I get down there next, if I ever go to South, down in Patagonia again, you know, I have a friend there that she said she'll make me a special deal on a room.
So is that an island, Harry, or is it connected to the land and you can drive out to it? It looks like there's a road out there.
What, to Xiao Xiao?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we drove to Xiao Xiao several times.
It's got water on three sides of it, though, I guess.
Right. It's on a little point.
Mm-hmm. What a stunning recreational, talk about Shangri-La. Is everything you could want there? The beauty just must be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the rooms at Xiao Xiao are huge, big rooms, and they have a jacuzzi right by the window, and the windows are all looking out over the water. Yeah, mm-hmm. $400 or $500 a night. Okay, mm-hmm. If you got the money, it's worth it.
Now, another great picture.
Okay. Yeah, when I'm in town, I stay at the Islas Malvinas Hotel for $40 a night.
That's kind of like Motel 6?
pretty much. Mm-hmm. Breakfast is included, though.
All right. Steak and eggs. Okay.
No, no, it ain't steak and eggs, but it's pretty decent breakfast.
I'm kidding. All right. Next up, we have a very unusual structure, which plays a key role in that triangulated field of view. Just keep that in mind. They had it all covered.
Yep. The so-called Saracen Tower, which probably, it's on private property, which is probably what saved it from getting blown up like the bunker.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Wow. Everybody wants to photograph it, and I took this photo, took the photo in our boat from the water. But last time I was there, just before the Kung Flu scamdemic, Martina and I drove up to the place, and it's owned by a multi-zillionaire Argentinian. It's mm-hmm. just a little vacation home. Mm-hmm. Little. It's massive, but he lives in Buenos Aires. This is just R&R. So we went up there. We talked to the caretaker. It was a young guy, about in mid-20s. And had two huge guard dogs, and they got to be my buddies, and they had a soccer ball they were playing with, so I'd kick the ball, and they'd chase it, and Martine was talking to the caretaker, and every time I kicked the ball, it kept going closer and closer to the Saracen Tower, and I had my movie camera on one shoulder, and I had my snapshot camera on my other hand. And I got to within about 30 feet of the tower, and I hear Martin yell, "Hurry, hurry. He knows what you're doing. He says, we must leave because he does not want to get violent." No, he does not want to be a violent man. I says, okay, I don't want him to be a violent man either. So I got some good pictures close up. It's been modified. Looks like it might have a rooftop swimming pool. I don't know. I didn't get up there yet. But next time I go back, I'm going back with the drone. And Martine has made contact with the owners. And next time I go back, if we have permission to go on the property and into the tower.
You say take the boat and just launch the drone from the boat.
Yeah, I can do that. But if the guy's going to give us permission to go in, what the heck?
No, all true. But if you get shut out again, there's no swimming pool on the top of that thing. Come on.
I don't know what it is up there. Hmm. I haven't been there yet. But, you know, the kicker is I have the stuff on all. I've got them sitting here looking at 8 external hard drives, and they're loaded with photographs. And when I get back from Europe, I'm going to start putting together little 20, 30-minute long presentations. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to find a way to get onto television. I can't find anybody that tells me how to do it. Even, you know, we used to have a member. He got old and retired, I guess, at Monty Markham. You don't know the name, but you would recognize him when you see. Okay.
I do. Sure.
Yeah. See, he had his own production studio, but, he's out there in California, just retired now, so I can't get a hold of him, but he was here to visit, and he was coming over to my place, and I said, hey, look, you know, Monty, you're a big-time movie star, used to a lot of high-buck stuff. I said, I live in a little 2,000-square-foot place in the jungle here, and he says, hey, when I was growing up in Okeechobee County, I think it was, whatever county it was, Manatee County, he said the pavement ended 2 miles before his grandmother's house, and they didn't have electricity, and they kept hogs out back, and they'd go whack one of the hogs every time whenever they wanted to eat. So he says, and he and his wife, he's a very rare movie star. He's married to the same lady since they were just kids in their 20s when they got married, and they're still married. So, you know, God bless them. It's a good guy.
Nice story. Monty Markham. Yeah. Good. Good to hear that. Is that his real name or a stage name?
No, that's his real name.
Mm-hmm.
With, it was not a weird name. You know, like Bernard Schwartz had to become Tony Curtis, and Michael Marion yes. Morrison had to become John Wayne.
Right. And Clara Bow never complained. Let's see.
Okay. And who's another famous one? Hedwig Eva Maria Kessler.
Yes, that's a good one.
Hedy Lamarr. And she lived about 40 miles from me after mm-hmm. she retired until her passing.
Too bad you couldn't get on tea time.
Yeah, it would have been nice if I could have, mm-hmm. but I didn't, you know, I wasn't that deeply involved
in
this.
She was very reclusive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Saracen Tower at the top, and I think I'm seeing two solar panels up there. They don't appear to be vertical. They appear to be canted back about 30 degrees. They may
yeah,
be
I see what you're
panels.
Looking at. Could yeah. be. I don't know.
Anyhow,
if I get down there again, we'll find out.
When you get down there again.
All it takes is money. And our angel died a while ago.
He wants you to carry on.
Yeah, I'm carrying on. I gave my word to all the U-boat guys who gave me their story. And, you know, I studied these guys when I was in high school, Otto Kretschmer, Erich Topp, et cetera. And they all became friends of mine. I've been in their homes, I don't know how many times. They were here a couple of times to visit. Otto Kretschmer said I was a member of his family, and I had a sleeping room in his house. The youngest combat submarine commander probably ever in history.
He's a kid.
Hans-Georg Hess was my best friend in Germany.
Mm-hmm. And you studied these guys, what, in high school?
Yeah.
So you were already aware of the fact that the PR that was out was a lie when you were in high school. All the evil
Germans.
Well,
I found out later, yeah. You know, in high school you're taught they're all raving Nazis, machine-gunning people in the water for sport, killing little kids and all that, you know, but wasn't true.
Yeah. Okay, Nemo has another one for us, picture number 24. Let's see that. That's right off the same point of land that that Visha Xiao Xiao is located upon.
Yeah.
By the way, for you out there, Visha Xiao Xiao, we've covered this in programs years past. It is a five-star hotel restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It is huge, all wood inside, absolutely stunning. And it's very expensive, but it was built when there was nothing out there. And you got to scratch your head. Why would somebody build a hotel on a barren promontory on an enormous lake in the middle of Patagonia? And,
right.
And the answer was it had a role to play, and it did.
Yeah. It was built in 38, and it caught fire, and then it was rebuilt in 39, and it's just been awesome ever since. I think five-star doesn't do it justice. I think it's above five-star or five-diamond or whatever. It's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to stay there for a couple of weeks, but I'd have to mortgage my house to do it.
Well, just give me the name of the manager and their number. I'll call. I'll take care of it.
Okay. I'll give it to you later.
No problem. The next picture, 24, shows the view from that location. Now, I would think that Nemo wouldn't have put this map together unless there was some inkling that there may have been a lookout post at that location as well.
Well, the Saracen Tower, I can't think of any other reason it was built. It was designed by Alejandro, what the heck's his name, Bustillo. Or you would say Bustillo, but with the double L, it's Bustillo. He was the architect for the Saracen Tower, for Inalco, and for quite a few other buildings around there. He's quite a successful architect. So, you know, why would anybody build a tower like that out in the middle of nowhere?
Or a hotel. This hotel,
yeah.
It's got, I don't know how many occupants it can handle, but it's a big, big place.
Well, the tower probably could have 20, 30 people in it.
Right.
Because it looked like it's three stories.
wasn't there some, I don't know if it was myth or true, story that from above the Hotel Xiao Xiao, the actual, the buildings were laid out in a way that looked like, not exactly like, but looked like a swastika. Is that true?
I've heard that story, but I've seen the thing from overhead, and I can't see a swastika there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
there are buildings. As a matter of fact, there's, I forget what Navy base, but it's a U.S. Navy base. The buildings are all laid out in a very large swastika if you look at it from the air.
I've seen that picture. Can't remember it.
I'm sure they had, it was done long before there was Germany. But, you know, swastika is a terrible evil, except, whoa, wait a minute. It was prevalent in India 3,000 years ago. The Navajo tribes used it centuries ago. And as a matter of fact, the emblem of the U.S. Army 45th Infantry Division was a swastika until World War II started. Then they had to change it and make it the Navajo Thunderbird.
Don't say that word, swastika.
Okay, Hakenkreuz.
You'll get in trouble. All right, let's go look at 25, I think. Is that where we are, number 25?
Yeah, 25. That's the one that shows all the interlocking fetal division. You couldn't get a rowboat out there without somebody spotting you and reporting you, of course. Incidentally, I'm looking here at piles and piles of documentation that Nemo sent. That, like I say, we'd have to be going until noon tomorrow to cover part of it. Mm-hmm. It's all going to go into our KTB magazine, and your listeners can send an email to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and say they want information and a copy of the KTV magazine, and we'll email the magazine back, the current issue, no charge, no obligation, and then we'll give information how you can become a member of Shark Hunters. And also, don't forget, this offer is good for the books, is good until Saturday. Buy any or as many books as you want. Pay for the books, $25 a piece, and we'll cover the postage.
Very good. That is a remarkable piece of work that Nemo did. There was nothing that could move on that lake, nothing, without being seen and tracked.
Right. Yeah. It's one hell of an infiltrator's nightmare.
Right. And you see how he's got it laid out. Look up at the legend in the top right, okay? Field of view. From Bariloche Clock Tower. That would be the green lines. All right, that's the clock tower in San Carlos de Bariloche.
Yep.
And then the Saracen Tower would be in red. You can see the red.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the view and the field of vision from that location. And then blue, the so-called bunker, which was blown up. And then Otto Mehling's mountain cabin.
Yeah, we didn't have a picture of it in here.
No, that was above Bariloche. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a tough guy. He was there in the 30s, late 30s, and he built his own little cabin up on the side of a mountain, and he climbed the mountain with the boards on his back because there were no roads up there at the time. There's something that passes off as a road, but now, today, but back then there was nothing. And they built this little cabin, and it's still there. You can visit it, and we stopped for a hot cocoa when we were up there because it was kind of chilly. Mm-hmm. And all his ski-making equipment is still in there. And he was the guy who was kind of, he put together the spy outfit down there. He started the club Andino, which was a ski club, but was also where most of the spies would congregate, in Bariloche. There are so many buildings there. There's we saw the picture number 4, I think, of Juan Mahler, otherwise known as Reinhard Kops. He owned the Campana Hotel, which Campana, I think, is bell in Spanish. And there were homes or stores, whatever, where the top guys of the Reich would meet. Bormann, Mengele, Eichmann, and even sometimes Hitler, all in Bariloche. But now they're trying to play down their old Third Reich history, but how can you play it down? It happened.
It's the truth.
Truth. God forbid we should tell the truth. Oh, no. Oh, by the way, on the 5 today on Fox, they were bad-mouthing the Southern Poverty Law Center. Imagine that.
That's kind of interesting. I think it was the ADL also is coming under scrutiny by some people.
Yes, that's what I've heard, the ADL and the
Think of all the damage that those two organizations have done to innocent people by smearing them.
You're talking to one. They posted that I'm a Nazi. Which is absolutely false, lies, bullshit. I was supposed to receive an honorary doctorate, but that went away when they saw, oh, no, he's a Nazi. They're lies. But, you know, people say, well, that defamation, why don't you sue him? Yeah, today I've got $600-something in the account. They've got $500 million in their ready account right now, and they're bringing in $50 to $70 million a year. And they've got 3 or 4 floors of their building that's all lawyers. So let's, David and Goliath worked in the Bible, but it wouldn't work here.
No. All right. Back to Gallery 1. Let's go to our next picture. Again, from Agent Nemo. Number 26 of 27.
Yeah.
All right. Take it away. Yeah, that's
this grim. Is the back side of the building, and it's really sad and tragic how the place had just been let go to hell. I found out, thanks to Nemo, that after Hitler left, and at some point in time, I don't know exactly when, but it was bought by a guy named Trosso, who was head of a big private bank in Argentina, and doggone if he and the money didn't disappear one day, or similar. And he wound up living in exile and apparently didn't really give a damn about his property because there was no upkeep. And then in 2011, I think it was, the Chilean volcano. I thought it was El Tronador, but I read somewhere else where it was Payaway. Well, I'm pronouncing it badly. But at any rate, some volcano blew up and left 2 to 4 inches of volcanic ash on everything over in Argentina, because that's the way the winds were blowing. And nobody bothered to clean it off in Alco or off the lawn. It used to be a beautiful green lawn, and when we went there in 2019, it was just a mess. And the beautiful sloping beach, the land came out on the grass, and then it dropped about 3 feet, and then what was left of the beach was there, and it's just terrible. Mm-hmm. It should have been cleaned up right away, but it wasn't.
Long ago and far away. Yes,
yeah.
It was beautifully groomed and manicured, and it was a paradise.
As you point out, it can come back, but it takes a ton of money, and you can't buy the place because under Argentine law, it's a border property. It's not actually on the border, but it's very close to the border with Chile. And you have to be a natural-born Argentinian to be able to buy it. Otherwise, you're out of luck. Can't buy it. So
well, again, it's I see on the far right of that picture is the attached, detached guest house, as you pointed out earlier.
It's the back on the side. Right or the
far
left?
Far right. Far right.
Okay.
This, we're looking at the back of the house. That's in the far
oh,
right.
Oh, okay. We're still on 26 then. Sorry. Yeah. Right. That's the attached, detached guest area. Last time I was there was a bicycle in there.
Remember, all those timbers, all that wood, indigenous to the area, all handcrafted, the whole house was put together with manual labor, built right there.
Yeah. Flower box is now falling off, as you can see by the larger window in the center.
Yeah.
The flower box is gone.
It must have been that's stunning back in the day.
Yeah. And remember, in South Germany especially, Bavaria, then into Austria, all the homes had flower boxes, and in the warm weather, you had flowers blooming everywhere. That's just a German trait. It was beautiful.
Right.
And that this one must have been the same, but nobody cared for it. Like I said, if you come up with the money rents, I'll come up with the craftsman to go down there and fix it.
Yeah, I would just, that would be an incredibly wonderful thing to do.
Yeah.
Restore that.
Yeah.
I could do it. We could
remember,
do it.
When you buy the property for, I think they're looking at 23 to 25 million U.S., it goes 500 yards further on, or 500 meters, sorry, and there's the remains of the farm. And it's fallen apart, too, though. But they had a cow barn. They had a huge, huge kennel area where they were raising...
Great Danes?
Yeah, the Great Danes, and I think one other kind of dog, but for security. And they had a casino, and they had all sorts of stuff there.
It was a self-contained, tiny little micro-world, the whole thing.
Exactly. Exactly like it was in Bavaria on the Obersalzberg. That entire mountain was kind of cordoned off under orders of Bormann. And they had farms. They had dairy farms. They had cattle farms. They had farms that grow beans and peas. Everything that people ate up there, like Hitler, Bormann, Goering, and all those guys, that came right from the farm that they grew. And the same probably was true here. It came right from their farm. Self-sustained.
Now, those buildings
here
are...
Here at Inalco, they didn't have to worry about water. They had a lot of water out front.
Right. Okay. Fascinating. Hold on here. All right, someone wrote a note, Calvin. He said, I was wondering what the truth is about Hitler and what happened in World War II. Well, there's a two-year course in information for you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got a lot of time on that one.
Were the Nazis actually kind of the good guys fighting the same people who are committing genocide across the world right now? Well, Calvin, let me just say that you're on the right track.
Calvin's
absolutely.
Lights are coming on. Why don't you give Calvin our email address, and we can send him some information? Or do you want me to give Calvin the address?
I'll send it to you. That's fine.
Okay, sounds good, and I'll let him know. And yeah, the Third Reich is portrayed almost 180 degrees out. Hitler did not start the war. The Polish did. He had to send the troops in to save the ethnic Germans, the Volksdeutsche.
Well, it's the same thing that Putin did in the Donbass. He had to invade to protect those people, the ethnic Germans,
Russians.
From being slaughtered.
Exactly.
Ethnic Russians. The same thing, though. The overlay is almost perfect.
Exactly. And the biggest warmonger of the bunch, the biggest war criminal, that was Churchill. We've got a lot of British members, and they all hate Churchill.
Good. Good. It's a real psychopath.
He was a bad guy. And he suckered Roosevelt into participating. Roosevelt was just kind of a knucklehead that got pulled along. They tried to get Germany to start the war. They sent a couple of destroyer escorts to confront the Bismarck. That would have been fun for the guys on the Bismarck. It would have been target practice, but it would have given Roosevelt the excuse to get the U.S. into the war, a lot like the Gulf of Tonkin thing. But the Germans would not fire. As a matter of fact, Hitler personally ordered the guys in the Kriegsmarine that they were never to engage American ships because he knew Roosevelt was trying to get a war started. So they had to sucker the Japanese into bombing Pearl Harbor, which they knew in advance. Those aircraft carriers were not out to sea by accident. So Japan attacks us, and we retaliate by attacking Germany. Does that make any sense? You know, if somebody punches me in the nose, I'm not going to go beat up his buddy. I'm going to kick his ass. Well, yeah, actually, look, I'm an old man. I just wind up shooting him.
It's all, yeah. It's all rigged. Calvin, just to keep it short, and anybody else who has that, it's a very good question to ask. It shows that you're really looking at history now in an objective way and trying to figure out what really happened. Just turn everything around 180 degrees and you'll be far, far closer to reality.
And they claim Hitler was a madman. Well, he was a vegetarian, for one thing. That ought to warm some people's hearts. Also, vivisection, which is cutting open of animals without anesthetic to see how the parts are working while they're alive and awake, he outlawed that. He was the first world leader to outlaw vivisection. And, you know, godless Nazi, no, he was a practicing Catholic. I was in the church where he sang in the choir. So, you know.
Let me give you a couple more. Under Hitler, Germany was the first nation in the world to declare war on cancer, to oppose smoking 100%, when nothing to do with smoking, and promoted vegetarianism as an alternate lifestyle to better health. So everything that you can't imagine was going on there that was to the benefit of the people. That's why the people were so ecstatic.
And he designed the Volkswagen, too, remember?
1936, wasn't it? 35?
Yeah, he was having lunch with Dr. Porsche, and he drew what he thought would be the people's car, the Volkswagen, the Beetle. Only he drew it as a four-door, which wouldn't work because it was too small, so they made the Beetle as a two-door, and it was just huge. Sold all over the place.
One of the greatest cars ever made.
Yeah. Except the heater stunk.
Yeah, we got mold and mildew.
I carpooled with a secretary when I was in Chicago. I carpooled with one of the secretaries, and she had a Beetle. And all the way to work, you know, it's 20 below zero outside. All the way to work, she and I were scraping the inside of the windshield because the heater wasn't putting out any heat. Yeah. And if you get hit in a Volkswagen, it's game over.
But what a great car.
Just think about it.
And Hitler also built the first freeway system in the world, the Autobahns, to accommodate the cars, the Volkswagen. And the people who were encouraged to travel and enjoy the country.
Yeah.
Move all the equipment, staging the military. You got it. So anyway, the truth about Germany.
He copied that from Appius Claudius back in ancient Rome. The roads then were to move troops.
Let me suggest this. If you're really serious about this, and you don't have to sit down and watch all 6 hours at one sitting, just break it up. Look at an hour here, an hour there. Adolf Hitler, the greatest story
never told.
Yeah. And it's available online, and it is a stunning eye-opener.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't been shut off.
Well, they haven't made it easy for them. I know the people.
No kidding. Yeah, those people don't like having the spotlight shined on them. It shows up their lies.
No.
But the greatest story never told, I've seen parts of it, and it's really outstanding. It's honest. And that's something you don't find in history right now, honest.
No. No. All right, we've got about 3-4 minutes left before we have to take a small intermission. We'll come back with hour three. And every home has an outside and an inside. And we're going to take you inside with Gallery 2 in the next hour. Lots of stories about that. This is like time travel. It's what it is. And
it
you should tell
is.
The story. Tell the story about the boat skipper. Harry
yeah,
took a boat out there to Inalco once, and it was a small, 25, 30 foot, maybe, I don't know.
25 footers, yeah. We rented two of them with the skippers. Mm-hmm. This was in 2009 when we went there.
With your group.
Yeah, with the group that you saw up there and photo number, what the heck was it up on top there? Yeah, photo number...
3 or 4.
Eight. And we're on the lawn, as you saw in the picture up there, number 8. And here comes the boat skipper goose-stepping across the lawn with his right arm up in the air in the so-called Nazi salute, which was really the Roman salute. And I said, what in the hell are you doing? And he says, I know who lived here. I said, yeah, how do you know that? He said, I grew up here. My father was the caretaker, and I know who lived here. And he went off goose-stepping with his arm in the air again. And he said, Hitler lived there, which we now know is absolutely true. So
he grew up on the estate. Yeah, his father was probably SS and in charge of security.
Right.
And what a story.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
we did try to reestablish contact with the skipper. I did.
Yeah, I can't
push
find
that
him.
And Harry gave it a good shot.
Yeah, not well as the guy who knows where we found. This guy might even be dead by now. I don't know, because that was in 2009, and we could, if not well would talk to us. We could at least find out where that marina was, where the boats were, but he doesn't want to talk to us anymore.
Shall I write to him again? I did. He answered me.
Whatever. He's a really nice guy, but I don't know.
Poisoned him somehow.
Could be.
Sounds like.
And I'll... Yeah, I just got your email. Thank you. Another one who knows him real well is Lawrence, and I got to call her fairly soon anyhow, because she and I are friends, and she's got some issues.
Another one who knows her really well? Who are you talking about?
Lawrence DeMello knows Nahuel really well.
Oh, okay. Well, there's your angle then, maybe. Maybe
I'm going to try.
Can, you know, you need help, you ask a woman, right?
A very sharp lady. She knows more about Borman than probably anybody in the world.
But I do believe I spoke to her on the phone once. She was contemplating moving here.
Yeah, it's a lot going on there.
I understand. I understand generally. Very good. All right, well, there's hour two for all of our listeners all around the world. Thank you all for being here. Now we're going to take you inside Inalco, when we come back in a few minutes. Quite a story there. And the house and grounds allegedly are in escrow now. We don't know for sure, but the rumor is that there is a buyer and there has been an offer and an acceptance. That's the best we know.
Yeah.
And we can only hope that whoever comes into possession of that will not bulldoze everything and build some...
No.
Funky hotel.
Yeah. Let me interrupt for a second. Mary Bailey just sent me an email, and that's a Coronado. I think she said the Coronado. Yeah, Coronado Naval Base. The buildings are laid out in the shape of a swastika. You look at it
San
above,
Diego.
And it is. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. I remember now. Thanks, Mary. I remember. Coronado Naval Base. Buildings laid out in the... Yeah, it's right there. No mystery about it. It's not,
yep.
Looks like, kind of seems like, it is. And that's
yeah, it
that's
is.
Right there. Did she send you a picture?
Yeah, from the sky looking down.
Yeah, that's yeah. Very good. All right. I have sent to my webmaster a number of additional pictures for Gallery One, and they'll show Adolf Hitler having lunch at the Eden Hotel in the annex with the Eichhorns and 1947, and those should be up probably tomorrow, but they'll be up. So look back.
And let me also give a shout out to Don Harder for sending me the link to record, convert, and stream my audio and video. I think that's a good way to get us started on to giving this history to everybody later.
Very good. Okay. All right, stand by. We're going to take you indoors through Harry's lockpicking in just a few minutes. Hold on.